Welcome to the Supreme Court Nomination Obstruction Conference Call. My name is Alex, and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Adam Green. Mr. Green, you may begin.
Great. Thanks so much, and thank you, everybody, for your patience. This is Adam Green, co-founder of the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, a grassroots organization with nearly a million members across the nation. Thanks for joining our national media call today with special guest Senator Chuck Schumer from New York and allies such as MoveOn.org Executive Director Anna Galland, Color of Change Executive Director Rashad Robinson, and Senator Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut. There are dozens of reporters on the line, and we welcome you all. I will get things started and then introduce each of our guests. We'll also have about 10 minutes for Q&A at the end. At any time during this call, you can hit *1 to be placed in the queue for questions at the end. And if you do, you'll still be able to continue listening to the call, so no need to wait until all the speakers have gone. With that, let's begin. Again, for those who are just joining, this is Adam Green, co-founder of the Progressive Change Campaign Committee. Our organization and others have seen nearly unprecedented grassroots energy and public outcry as Republicans threaten to work against the Constitution and block any Supreme Court nominee, no matter how qualified. Regular people who live busy lives and haven't taken political action for months or years are reengaging at this moment, pressing Senate Republicans to follow the Constitution and give a fair up or down vote to the next Supreme Court nominee. Today, we're vowing to put grassroots pressure across the country on Republican senators to make sure they follow the Constitution and allow a fair up or down vote. The groups on this call and others have collected over 500,000 petition signatures in the last 96 hours calling for a fair up or down vote, and that number swells by the day. Others besides those on this call who collected signatures include People for the American Way, Every Voice, Demand Progress, and Senator Elizabeth Warren on her list. The people who sign petitions are then being asked to call their senators, spread word on social media, speak out locally, and attend local events. Local grassroots pressure will be key to winning this fight. In coming days, grassroots pressure will build on Senate Republicans in their home states to show them that the public is watching and will not tolerate them violating the Constitution and denying a fair vote. The PCCC and others will be announcing specific events and tactics in the very near future. And Senate Republicans who are politically smart will stop obstructing and commit to a fair process quickly. We saw in the last 24 hours that local pressure works and that Senate Republicans backtrack from their obstruction when confronted with the realization that people in their home states are paying attention. Very notably, Senate Judiciary Chairman Chuck Grassley originally indicated that, like Republican leader Mitch McConnell, he would not even consider President Obama's Supreme Court nominee. But yesterday morning, the Des Moines Register criticized him, and hours later he backtracked, saying he would consider the nominee put forward by the president. Senator Ron Johnson threatened obstruction on Sunday. But yesterday, when questioned on a local Wisconsin radio station, he backtracked, saying Republicans would look, quote, like petulant children, unquote, if they denied a fair up or down vote. And also yesterday, when Senator Tom Tillis was questioned on a local North Carolina radio station, he admitted that if they oppose the president's nomination, quote, sight unseen, we will fall into the trap of being obstructionists, unquote. So on this call, senators and grassroots allies are calling on Republican senators to stop working against the Constitution and give the president's Supreme Court nominee a fair up or down vote. And we're making clear that the public is paying attention, is highly energized, and that key to winning this fight will be major grassroots pressure in the home states of Republican senators. We will hear next to one of our top allies in the fight, MoveOn.org Executive Director Anna Galland, and then Senator Schumer and others. A quick reminder, at any time during this call, you can hit *1 to be placed in the queue for questions at the end, and you'll be able to continue listening to the call along the way. With that, Anna from MoveOn, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Adam. Adam, thanks for organizing this. And glad to be joining the senators here as well as our allies from Color of Change and PCCC. So I'm Anna Galland. I'm the executive director of MoveOn.org Civic Action. And I can tell you, we are hearing a real visceral sense of outrage at the grassroots level from our most active members and also from the everyday voters that we're in contact with that Mitch McConnell and other leading Republicans would even take such an extreme and obstructionist position. People are flummoxed. They're amazed. They're disgusted. The fact that Senator McConnell would announce just hours after the death of Justice Scalia that they would not even consider a Supreme Court nominee that was appointed by President Obama, that's not just unprecedented, it's shameful. And it's a dereliction of their constitutional duty. We, you know, our members and I think the public at large understand that there is plenty of precedent and there is plenty of time for the Senate to consider and to vote on President Obama's nominee before he leaves office. Senate Republicans are saying that the American public should have a say in this matter. We agree, and we believe they did when they reelected Obama, President Obama, by a wide margin in 2012. So we are hearing a real sense of outrage, and we know that outrage is coming from a real source. There is so much at stake here. The Supreme Court is facing urgent and pressing topics that are going to directly affect the lives of, you know, hundreds of millions of Americans, from decisions on a woman's right to choose to the ability of workers to organize to how America can combat climate change to efforts to craft a humane immigration policy to reforms of our campaign financing system. You know, the agenda is big, and leaving a seat empty would reduce the court's ability to decide these matters. It would create costly uncertainty, and it would be a direct attack on one of the three branches of American government. President Obama has vowed to do his job per the Constitution, and our members and the public at large believe it's time for Senate Republicans to do theirs. So I can also tell you, MoveOn members around the country are very energized to take action here. We will be running a major grassroots campaign pressing GOP senators to do the right and obvious thing. As soon as President Obama announces his nominee, the Senate should advise, consent, and move forward. That's their job under the Constitution. And grassroots around the country to make sure that their senator hears that that's what they expect. We'll be running a campaign to engage the broader public, senator by senator, state by state. MoveOn members, our 8 million members around the country are quite tuned in here. We will have folks on the streets, on the phones, and organizing online to keep the pressure on. With that, I'll turn it back over to you, Adam, to identify our next speaker.
Great. Thanks so much, Anna, and for all your activism and your members' activism. We are thrilled to be joined by Senator Schumer, a leader on many issues, one of our friends on Debt-Free College, and also one of the leaders on the Supreme Court fight. So, Senator Schumer, all yours.
Well, thank you, Adam, and thank PCCC and all the other groups, MoveOn, who are on this call, and, of course, thanks to my good friend Senator Blumenthal, one of our leaders on the Judiciary Committee. First, I want to say that the grass, I've been going around my state yesterday, the day before, today, and I am amazed at how much concern, upsetness, flummoxness, to use the word that was used by our MoveOn person before me, how upset people are about this. And not just hardcore political people, but just average folks saying, what's going on? The grassroots voices are going to be the key in getting Senator McConnell to back off and let the Senate do its job. And I'm urging people to speak out and speak out strongly. The level of obstruction we've seen since Saturday is mind-boggling. It's unprecedented. It's wrong. It's unsustainable. And it is against our Constitution. The American people understand what's going on here. And we've seen this movie before. The bottom line is very simple. When the hard right doesn't get its way, their immediate reaction is shut it down. And Senator McConnell marches in lockstep. That's what happened in 2013 when the Republican leadership tried to shut down the government. They're doing it today with their attempts to shut down the Supreme Court. But just as in 2013 when there was a huge public outcry and Senator McConnell had to back off, the same will happen now. Senator McConnell will have to back off. And as was mentioned, we're already seeing the Republican coalition, which seemed unified the day Senator McConnell announced his desire to prevent hearings and a vote on any nominee the president would offer. We're seeing that coalition begin to crack, Senator Grassley, Senator Tillis, Senator Johnson. And I believe that we will be able to have hearings and get a vote. It's going to be deja vu all over again for our friends on the other side of the aisle. Same thing that happened. They tried to shut down the government. They did for a few weeks, but had to back off without achieving their goals. So I am proud to be part of this call to urge people to speak out. Email, tweet, write, call your senators and tell them that whatever their views are, we don't know who the nominee will be, but whatever their political views are, the Constitution does not say that the president serves for 4 years but only has power for three. Remind them that 17 Supreme Court justices were approved in the final year of a president's term. Remind them that Democrats voted 97 to nothing to put Justice Kennedy on the court in February of Ronald Reagan's last year, eighth year, and the same should happen now. So now I'm happy to turn things over to my colleague, Senator Blumenthal.
Thank you so much.
Go for it.
And maybe I wasn't supposed to do that, and you were
asked
you were supposed to. I apologize.
Go for it.
Senator Schumer is always right. let me just say very seriously, I'm really proud to be on this call with someone as committed to the rule of law and the integrity and intellect of the court as Senator Schumer is, which he demonstrated again and again and again throughout his career, and very grateful to be on this call with the groups and individuals who are represented here who are standing strong for adherence to the Constitution. I was a law clerk to Justice Harry Blackmun. I was a federal prosecutor, U.S. attorney for Connecticut, and state attorney general, arguing four cases before the Supreme Court, including before Justice Scalia, with some pretty lively exchanges. And I believe so strongly that the United States Supreme Court is entitled to respect, and I deeply regret that the Republicans are dragging the court into the morass of partisan politics and gridlock. The simple fact is that this obstructionism is unsustainable. And not surprisingly, our Republican colleagues are reflecting and reconsidering, and eventually they must relent as the outcry and outrage of public opinion swells and surges. Not surprisingly, some of them are already feeling the heat and reflecting it in their feeling, as Senator Grassley and Tillis and Johnson have already indicated. The current position is simply unsustainable. And I want to urge that we are not saying that the president's nominee should be rubber stamped. On the contrary, whoever the nominee is, he or she should be given exacting, demanding scrutiny. There should be full hearing, penetrating, and insightful, and there should be a vote. Ronald Reagan said, facts are stubborn things. The facts are that Ronald Reagan himself nominated Justice Kennedy when he had 14 months left, and his nominee was approved while he was in his final year. So there is clear precedent for moving ahead with the president's nominee, and he is simply doing his constitutional job. And Congress now must do its job. So far as public opinion is concerned, as I go around the state of Connecticut, what I find is that the outrage and outcry against shutting down the Supreme Court, in effect, is motivated by all the feelings that were prompted by shutting down the government. And this stance by the Republicans epitomizes what people regard as the worst characteristic of Washington today, which is partisan paralysis and gridlock, the games playing and blame gaming that people find so abhorrent in Washington today is reflected in this stance by our Republican colleagues. So my feeling is that the Republicans must and will relent. They should do so before doing damage to the court and the country, which, in fact, is now happening. And let me just conclude by this, with this thought. As I talk to my colleagues who are lawyers, other lawyers around the state of Connecticut and around the country, regardless of their party or feeling about who the nominee is, they are absolutely outraged that Republican senators would say they will prevent the process from going forward as is legally required to do. They are outraged that politics would prevent a constitutionally mandated process from going forward. And my feeling is that, at the end of the day, is the reason why our Republican colleagues will have to relent and permit this process to go forward with the president's nominee.
Great. Thank you so much, Senator Blumenthal, for joining us and for those words. We have about 50 or so reporters who have called in. Know that there are folks with questions. You can feel free to push star 1 at any point to join the queue. Our final speaker is Rashad Robinson from Color of Change. Rashad?
Thank you, Adam. And thank you to the senators and to Anna and Move On. It is great to be on the phone with you all. Color of Change is the nation's largest online civil rights organization with over 1.3 million Americans. We, black folks and their allies of every race, we work to make government and corporations more responsive to the needs and concerns of black folks. And over the last 10 years of our existence, we've engaged on a wide range of issues, and in particular, turning out and fighting to elect this president. It doesn't take a constitutional law expert to understand that after being elected into office, not once, but twice, President Obama retains all the authority provided to presidents to nominate a person for the Supreme Court. If the Senate Republicans like Mitch McConnell continue their threat to block any person that President Obama nominates, regardless of their qualifications or the contents of their character, they will not only violate the Constitution, but raise the passions and energies of voters around the country. You know, many Senate Republicans will be up in 2016. They're going to find themselves facing not just the passions of black voters, but of the rising American electorate, of people who turned out and wanted this government to work for them, to ensure that these senators will be having the fights of their careers. We saw in the exit polling in 2016, after attempts to suppress the black vote, when the exit polls and Pew Research looked at why black voters turned out, they found that they turned out not just because of the attempts to suppress their vote and the pushback and fight back, but also they were turning out because of the attacks on this president. And what we continue to see over and over again is attempts by the Republican Congress to prevent this president from doing his job. As a civil rights organization, we understand that we have to do all that we can to raise the voices of our members and passions, and we've been hearing their voices over the last several days. We've been, in the last 24 hours, tens of thousands of our members have signed our petition. Like Move On, we're going to be moving those members to phone calls and actions, but also helping them connect this to the larger concerns around this election. Our government and our Constitution needs to work for all Americans. And to have elected officials say that they simply will not do their job while millions of Americans are out of work and simply want jobs is a slap in the face to all taxpayers, and it must stop.
Great. Thank you so much, Rashad. Quick programming note for those who joined the call a little bit late. This is Adam Green, co-founder of the Progressive Change Campaign Committee. The speakers on the line that you've heard were myself, Anna Galland, Executive Director of MoveOn.org, Senator Chuck Schumer from New York, Senator Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut, Rashad Robinson, Executive Director of Color of Change. And overall, we're vowing today to put grassroots pressure across the country on Republican senators to make sure they follow the Constitution and allow a fair up or down vote on the next Supreme Court nominee. We'll have about 10 minutes or so for questions, and there's already a bunch of folks in the queue. To join the queue, just push star 1, and you'll be added. And, operator, I think we are ready to go.
Okay, our first question comes from Burgess Everett from Politico. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for doing the call. Senator Schumer, your words from 2007 have been used against you quite a bit by Republicans in the past few days. How do you kind of square your position now with what you said in that
very simple
2007?
One's apples, one's oranges. What I said in 2007 is, after a hearing, if senators felt that that a nominee was out of the mainstream and wasn't being forthright about it, they should vote no. And that's still my position today. Bottom line is very simple, and that is there should be a hearing and a vote on whom the president nominates. And people will vote no, have voted no in the past, Democrats and Republicans. They will vote no in the future. That has very little, that doesn't reflect on whether there should be a hearing and a vote, which there should be.
Thanks. And I might just say, as Dick Blumenthal, in support of what Senator Schumer just said, there should be demanding and rigorous scrutiny, and senators should vote against a nominee who fails to be completely candid and forthright. And that, I think, is the common and consistent position that Senator Schumer is taking and that all of us should take.
Yeah, Senator Blumenthal said it well. We're asking for a hearing and a vote. We're not asking for Congress to be a rubber stamp for any president.
Exactly.
Cool. Thank you. Operator, do we have a next question?
Yes, our next question comes from Lawrence Hurley from Reuters. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I want to ask the senators whether they're advising the White House on the type of nominee that could potentially get approved by the Senate if there's a hearing and a vote. And also, if you have specific names in mind.
Well, I'm not going to mention any names in particular. I think it should be a mainstream bipartisan, mainstream nominee that can get bipartisan support and get on the court.
And I might just add.
I would just say one other thing. Two of the president's nominees did get Republican support. Both of the president's nominees got Republican support. Both. Justice Sotomayor and Kagan got Republican support.
You know, I might just add, our job is to advise and consent, not to propose names. It's the president's job to nominate, and our constitutional obligation to then act on that nomination, to provide a hearing and a vote. So the appropriate role is not for us to suggest names to the president. But my feeling is that a person of unquestioned intellect and integrity should be approved in a very bipartisan way. That's what the American people want. They want government to work. And the most common question I get from people is, why can't you get things done? That's why this imminent suggested gridlock epitomizes the worst that people feel about Washington.
Great. Thank you, Senators. Operator, do we have next call?
Yes, our next question comes from Siobhan Hughes from the Wall Street Journal. Please go ahead.
Hi, for Senator Schumer and Blumenthal. You've both talked about the need for a lengthy hearing process. Mr. Grassley does like to dig for information. If he takes as long as he took with Loretta Lynch, will you feel that that is unfair, or is that simply consistent with doing his job?
Look, I'm not going to prejudge what Senator Grassley, how many questions he has or how long he wants to take. I do think there should be a thorough examination of every justice, potential justice. I hope that Senator Grassley will come around to the view that we should have a hearing, extensive hearing, and a vote.
I might just add, you know, the every nominee within the last 30 years has received a hearing and a vote within 100 days. The longest was Clarence Thomas, 99 days. No seat has remained vacant longer than 237 days. I think those time periods are the proper parameters for what on the outside at the longest should be the time taken. I emphasize again how exacting and rigorous the scrutiny must be, but some of the potential nominees may have already been screened and vetted thoroughly in the course of their nomination for the Courts of Appeals. And so they may have already undergone a lot of this scrutiny, and the time period may be shorter. But I agree with Senator Schumer. We don't want to prejudge what the amount of time should be. It should go forward on an orderly and exacting basis.
Hey, folks, I am going to have to go and get off. I want to thank everybody for being on the call. I don't want to end it abruptly, but I have another thing that I have to do right now. So thank you all for being on, and I'm available for questions for anybody. And I want to thank our groups for helping get the grassroots moving, because, as I've said from the beginning, the way this will change is grassroots to their senators, and then we get a hearing and a vote. So thank you.
Great. Thank you, Senator Schumer. Thanks, Shabbat, for that question. We'll get through a couple more. I think we have MSNBC in the queue next.
Yes, our next question comes from Irene Carmen from MSNBC. Irene, please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for doing the call. The question I have is, historically, there's been a little bit of an intensity gap between Democrats and Republicans turning out specifically because of the Supreme Court. You know, we did a poll last summer that said that 97% of Republican voters said they thought the Supreme Court was too liberal. Only 53% of Democrats said they thought it was too conservative. So, I mean, what makes you think that it will be different this time in terms of the Democratic base really being activated around, you know, putting political pressure to fill Scalia's seat?
Rashad, do you want to take first step at that one?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the McConnell statement just hours after Scalia's death was a real shot to progressives and liberals and the civil rights community. The intensity of response of Move On members and PCCC members and Color of Change members, we are organizations that work to mobilize our constituencies a lot. And we're seeing something different here. We're seeing an intensity and a response not just about the importance of the court, but about the way that Washington has been working these last several years and the lack of interest in finding common ground and giving this president the opportunity to move an agenda. And I think people are outraged by that. And I think what we will see is the same type of intensity that we saw in 2012. With people at the exit polls, in particular black folks and folks of color, talking specifically about the attacks on this president and talking specifically about attempts to suppress the vote. These type of overreaches are, I think, real moments where people understand not only what's at stake, but how their voice needs to be engaged.
Thanks, Rashad. Before we get to our next question from roll call, Anna, do you have anything to add to that?
I would totally echo what Rashad said and say, and again, I'm kind of from Move On, if there's an intensity gap playing out in this fight, I imagine it would run in the other direction. Progressives and everyday voters are totally outraged by the fundamental disrespect which is driving these Republicans to, you know, walk away from their constitutional duty. So I think, you know, when people are outraged, they want to take action, and we're already seeing that playing out in the petition signatures that we're seeing, and we'll see it play out in the weeks and months ahead as this process plays out.
Great. I know Senator Blumenthal has to go in a second. Senator, can we take one more question from roll call?
I can take one more question, then I'm going to have to run.
Sounds good. Operator?
Yes, our next question comes from Bridget Bowman from Roll Call. Please go ahead.
All right. Thanks, Senator Blumenthal. My question is actually for you. I'm curious what specific tactics Senate Democrats are looking at to kind of push Republicans to act on this nomination. And also more broadly, are you concerned that this fight could lead to kind of a year of just gridlock in the Senate?
I'm concerned, most importantly, that the United States Supreme Court will be unable to render decisions that are vital to people's lives. We're talking about voting rights, reproductive rights, affirmative action, immigration, all kinds of rights and interests that need decisions. As you know, a 4-4 vote is essentially a non-decision. And on a couple of key areas, including labor rights and union issues, those decisions may be sent back without a definitive decision of the court, and lives may be harmed as a result. And institutionally, the court could be damaged because of the gridlock and because of the indecision by the Congress. So I'm very concerned about the damage that will be done potentially to the court, demeaning and diminishing it and degrading it, because the Supreme Court really, at the end of the day, needs the credibility and respect of the American public for it to have the power that it does. It has no armies or police force to enforce its decision. It functions because it has credibility and respect, and the Republicans are threatening those vital assets of the court.
Great. Thanks again to Senator Blumenthal.
Thank you.
In general,
take care.
For the work and for joining today.
For
those still on the call, a couple programming notes. One, if you want a recording of this call later or have follow-up questions about things mentioned on this call, feel free to email us at press@boldprogressives.org. We still have three grassroots group leaders representing over 10 million people combined on the call for a few more minutes. If you're in the queue and don't have a question for the grassroots leaders on the call, you can push pound to remove yourself from the queue. If you still have a question, stay in the queue or press star one, and we'll take just a couple more questions to the extent that people have them. Anna and Rashad, do you have time for a couple more questions, if there are any?
I can stay on for a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, I can stay on for another about up to 5 minutes total.
Okay, great. So again, push pound if you want to remove yourself from the queue, star one if you want to stay in the queue, and I believe we have the New York Post next. Operator?
Yes, our next question comes from Jeff Earle from the New York Post. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. I'm still with you. Thanks so much for doing the call. I'm wondering how you, some of the members from the groups might interpret Senator Schumer's call for a mainstream nominee. And does that signal that to you that he wants somebody, maybe, say, an appellate court judge? And is it of concern to you if the president appoints somebody, for example, who's done work for corporate clients in the past, or Enron or anybody else? Thanks.
Adam, I don't know if you're playing MC or if you want to tap one of those. Yeah, go ahead.
I can take first stab at this. So you know, what we've seen from Democratic presidents in the past are many mainstream nominees. Generally, when it comes to supporting workers, supporting women, supporting minority rights, supporting our democracy, these are not progressive positions. These are mainstream American positions, and often, you know, it's right-wing justices that are on the fringe. So I think in general, we're very confident that if the president appoints someone of integrity and with, you know, impeccable credentials, that they will be both mainstream and should be confirmed. But the first step is ensuring that there is a process in place that's fair, and that's why a number of groups together in just 96 hours have collected over 500,000 petition signatures calling for Republicans to follow the Constitution and allow a fair up or down vote. That's the vital first step, and what we're vowing today is local, home state, grassroots pressure on Republican senators so that they know that the public is paying attention, is highly energized, and demands a fair process. Anna or Rashad, do you have anything to add to that?
I think I think what I would just add is that, you know, President Obama won two elections, in the last election by a wide margin. You know, his positions and the positions that he's staked out are the mainstream positions. They are the positions that, in the last two presidential elections, Americans went to the polls and they affirmed. And they affirmed, even in the face of a Republican presidential candidate that probably wouldn't even have made it through this current primary cycle on the Republican side. So to the extent that, you know, President Obama and the issues that he's currently staked out are the mainstream issues, we expect him to put someone forward that is in line with the values that he's laid out.
Yeah, and the only thing I would add is just, you know, Americans want a nominee who is highly qualified, someone with integrity, someone who will be fair, someone who will respect the Constitution, who will adhere to the principle that all Americans, you know, deserve equal justice under the law. And part of the problem with the current Roberts Court is that it has not met that standard. This vacancy is a chance to course correct and appoint a nominee who will show more respect for the values that are enshrined in the Constitution and that isn't biased in favor of the corporations and the powerful. That's what we hope President Obama will do. And I think, you know, very clearly, as Adam said, this moment, overwhelmingly, we're not at the point of talking about any nominee because the Republicans have preemptively said they won't consider anyone that Obama could possibly nominate. So we need to get through this discussion first before, you know, we have to get through this discussion because we're not even going to get a hearing unless we can show the intensity and breadth of grassroots outrage over the posture that Senator McConnell and others have taken.
And but it certainly doesn't sound like you're saying it's disqualifying if somebody has worked for a big corporate law firm or represented corporate clients just as counsel, right?
We're not talking about any candidates yet. We're talking about whether there's going to be any sort of hearing at all.
Great. And I know that we've hit your time limit, folks. So thank you, Anna and Rashad, for extending a little bit and being on the call. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Again, if someone wants a recording of this call or has any follow-up questions for the folks on this call or want details that were mentioned on this call, feel free to email us at press@boldprogressives.org, and we'll do our best to get back to you. I do want to thank both Move On and Color of Change for joining us, as well as our friends at Demand Progress, People for the American Way, Every Voice, and Senator Elizabeth Warren for their work collecting petition signatures, as well as others. And, you know, onward. Thanks, everybody.
Great. Thanks, all.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.